Hey, hey, hope you're having a wonderful day wherever you are in this world. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. Happy Friday Eve. I have a lot of interesting stories for you this Thursday, March 26th. But first, some breaking news. Yesterday, a California jury found Meta and YouTube liable on all counts in a case that accused the social media companies of creating an intentionally addictive product. The case centers around a now 20-year-old woman named Kaylee and her mother who sued Meta, Google's YouTube, Snap, and TikTok, accusing them of intentionally luring her to the platforms as a young teen, saying that caused her to develop mental health problems. This is a landmark case that could set the precedent for a myriad of other lawsuits, but it will also likely change the way young people are able to access and participate in social media going forward. Tomorrow, we will bring you more on the reaction to the verdict and its potential ramifications. To Iran now, where the war with the U.S. and Israel is having major ripple effects on things like businesses and schools, having people stay home in order to save electricity, gas, etc. The ongoing conflict has effectively closed the Strait of Hormuz, the key shipping lane through which nearly 20% of the world's daily oil shipments typically pass. Iran previously vowed to attack any vessels that attempted to traverse it, leaving hundreds of ships stranded on both sides of the strait. Earlier this week, however, officials signaled the country was in talks to allow certain vessels to pass safely through the strait.
Again, I have to clarify that other states that has nothing to do with this act of aggression against Iran can pass through the Strait of Hormuz after necessary coordination with Iranian authorities.
As of this taping, it appears a handful of ships have made the trip through the strait. That's according to tracking data CNN has yet to independently verify. But even if shipping partially resumes, the prolonged closure has already wreaked havoc on global supply chains. Asia, which consumes 80% of the oil that crosses through the strait, has been hit particularly hard. Our Christy Lou Stout has more on how countries across the region are dealing with this unprecedented crisis.
The Philippines has become the first country in the world to declare a state of national energy emergency, thanks to a war thousands of miles away. Long lines snake out of Manila's gas stations, and soaring fuel prices have left some of Manila's jeepney drivers uncertain how long they can stay on the road.
Instead of being able to bring home the earnings, it goes to pay for diesel. What's left for us is very little.
It's all down to the U.S. and Israel's war with Iran, which has closed the Strait of Hormuz to all but a handful of ships.
Asia is especially vulnerable to the supply shocks that's caused. It consumes more than 80% of the oil that crosses the strait.
In South Korea, the president has called for a 12-point countrywide energy-saving campaign. People are being asked to take shorter showers, charge their phones during the day rather than overnight, and only use their washing machines and vacuum cleaners at weekends. Fuel shortages have also caused some of Asia's flagship carriers to consider suspending flights, while India's textile industry has been impacted. India imports around half of its oil from the Middle East. And shortages have started to cause some factories to close or use carbon fuels, and some residents to abandon their kitchens. The cost of gas is so high, we are cooking on this open-air stove, this woman tells us. She is far from alone. People are queuing to fill gas cylinders and fuel tanks across Asia, from Kathmandu, Nepal, to Colombo in Sri Lanka, where authorities have declared every Wednesday a public holiday for government institutions, including schools, but exempting hospitals to manage energy resources.
Pop quiz hot shot. What is the most widely grown crop in the U.S. by acreage? Wheat, corn, soybeans, or potatoes? If you said corn, you're amazing. While Iowa produces more corn than any other state, California produces the most fruits and veggies overall, including spinach, broccoli, lettuce, and almonds. Years ago, pesticides exploded in popularity among farmers. A simple chemical application saved crops from insects, rodents, fungi, and in turn revolutionized the way agricultural industries prevent food waste and save money. Well, research over the last 20 years proves many of these chemicals can be harmful to our health. So organic produce options started to really grow on some consumers as a result. But pesticides are so pervasive in the U.S. food supply, it can be difficult to avoid them, and organic foods might make your grocery bill feel a little hard to swallow. Enter the Dirty Dozen, an annual report that specifies exactly which fruits and veggies retain the most pesticides, even after washing. CNN's medical correspondent Meg Terrell tells us which ones made the list.
The new study found that about 3/4 of non-organic produce still had pesticide residues, even after washing. We learned 3 key facts to keep in mind. Some fruits and vegetables carry more pesticides than others.
Strawberries have sort of been at the top of the list for a little while.
That list comes from the Environmental Working Group, which each year uses data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to figure out which non-organic fresh fruits and veggies have the most pesticide residue left after a quick wash.
A lot of these are very tender fruits and vegetables that don't have a hard casing that you might peel. And they also are very close to the ground or in other ways need a lot of pesticides in order to be grown properly.
I'd love to buy my kids all organic, but that's expensive. So there is a more affordable way to think about it.
First, consider what your family enjoys eating. Then compare that to fruits and vegetables that are high in pesticides. You might want to choose organic for just those.
The EWG also lists the produce with the least pesticide residue.
Looking at the Clean 15, which have nearly 60% of samples with no detectable residues, is a way for consumers to balance that, you know, getting a lot of fruits and vegetables in their diet without compromising on pesticide exposure.
No matter what, wash, wash, wash. It doesn't get rid of all the residue, but it helps if you do it right. EWG's Alexis Temkin says special washes have not been shown to help. And even if you've got something with a peel, you should still wash it.
Now to some intriguing news from Major League Baseball. Yesterday was opening day, and the Giants and Yankees played in the first ever regular season game with the new automatic ball strike system, aka the robo-ump. Batters, pitchers, and catchers are allowed to challenge a pitch if they think it was called incorrectly by tapping their head, and tech support is called in to help them make the call. Our Hannah Kaiser gives us an inside look at this striking new tech.
It's baseball's opening day, and robo-umps have arrived. Let me explain. After years of extensive testing in the lower levels, Major League Baseball is set to debut the automated ball strike system in real, regular season big league games.
Ooh, but he got clipped.
But we're not going full robot takeover. Human umpires will still call like normal.
And Mateo caught looking, he wants to challenge it.
But this year, if a player disagrees with a call, they can do more than just gripe about it. The batter, pitcher, and catcher can all challenge calls by tapping their head or helmet. But they'll have to do so pretty much instantly and without getting any input from coaches or anybody else in the dugout. Challenge calls will be referred to technology that tracks the path of the ball relative to a two-dimensional strike zone over the center of home plate.
Challenge twice and he's been incorrect twice.
It's kind of like those K-zone boxes you've seen on broadcasts at home, but critically, way more precise and customized to the exact height of each individual batter. Teams start games with 2 challenges apiece.
Well, let's see. This is where the drama begins.
And if the challenge is correct and the call is overturned, they'll retain those challenges.
Mm. Nicely done.
If the umpire's call is upheld, they'll lose the challenges.
Minnesota has 1 challenge remaining.
I'd be a little embarrassed.
Because of the extensive testing of this system, we already know a little bit about how some things will play out. For instance, teams are likely to unofficially ban pitchers from challenging any call, because as it turns out, it's hard to be impartial about a pitch you throw.
Oh, my.
Catchers are better than batters at challenging, and on the whole, players were correct with their challenge calls about 52% of the time. The challenge system makes sure that the most important calls are correct, and without totally giving the game over to robots.
He still doesn't believe it.
Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, proves beauty is definitely more than skin deep. Students at JFK High School in New York spending time with senior citizens on their day off.
What's your name?
John.
You like playing cards?
Oh, yeah, I like cards.
At an assisted living community in Long Island, members of the Glamour Gals Club offer manicures, games, and most importantly, connection.
Making people happy is just something so important in life.
The group is part of a nationwide program focused on bridging generations, one conversation at a time.
The fresh young faces keep us young. I truly enjoy this.
A day off from school, but still a lesson learned. That kindness never goes out of style. These folks really nailed it. I have a shout out today going to Mr. Emerson and our friends at Otto Peterson School in Scappoose, Oregon. Thank you for making us a part of your day. Rise up. And I want to give a shout out to someone I met at the Winter Olympics. This is Char, an up and coming superstar. Keep working hard and study harder, buddy. All right. Shout out to you, Miss Mendoza, and all of our friends at Lebanon Trail High School in Frisco, Texas. You're good as gold. Make it an awesome Thursday, all. And I will see you right back here tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.